All right, and welcome to another edition of the Digital Digest with your girl Ace. Today we have with us founder of Excellence Productions, Brayden. You checking in?
Yes, I'm here. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How's your day going so far?
It's a little rocky, but I'm doing pretty good.
Okay, that's good to hear. You know, we like that sometimes. So, Brayden, you want to take a minute to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yes. Hey, everybody. How's it going? My name is Brayden Jenkins, owner of Excellent Productions. I am a freelance videographer, and pretty much I've been doing freelance videography for over about a decade, but I started my company in 2015. I've done movies, I've done commercials, pretty much anything that you name, web series, reality shows, music videos, dance videos, anything really that you could think of, I've done, and I'm just here trying to make my dreams come true.
Okay, awesome. Thanks for taking a minute to list a little bit of your background. I met Brayden while I was working with a startup, and you know, we traveled to different cities, and Brayden shot tons of footage with us, and it came out really good. Just the creativity and special effects that he uses, you know, just always stood out to me as someone that I wanted to continue to build with and do business with and introduce other entrepreneurs to, you know, because I feel like that's what helps build the momentum in other entrepreneurs, especially if your work doesn't necessarily involve a lot of creativity and, you know, you're looking to have that creative content, like if you're an accountant or, you know, an attorney or, you know, a nonprofit, you know, someone along those lines may not deal with video, but that doesn't mean you don't want something to stand out and, you know, something that looks really great. Brayden, in this series, we're doing featuring us and spotlighting filmmakers and videographers, people with a background behind the lens. So can you tell us a little bit about how you got started?
Yes, absolutely. And first, I want to say thank you for that introduction. That was amazing. And also, yes, I do remember when we shot that video in Atlanta for Shopaholic City. That was a great time. But pretty much how I got started, I mean, I've always, since the age of when I was younger, like since I was born, pretty much, I've always enjoyed, you know, movies. Mom was always taking me, you know, to different movie theater to watch movies. And it was just something about sitting in that theater and watching this presentation in front of an audience, and you have your popcorn and everything. So I was really intrigued by that from a young age, and I was like, wow, like that's what I want to do. Like, not only make movies, but also act in movies. A lot of people don't know that I enjoy acting as well. But like I said, you know, she put me, as I was growing up in high school, you know, in different during the summer, different programs through PG County. CTV was one of those opportunities. You know, they literally gave a group of teenagers, you know, put them in a studio, and we all bonded and, you know, came up with our own TV show.
Awesome.
And I also a lot of people don't know I used to draw, because before I got into videography and photography, I wanted to be a cartoonist.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to really enjoy, you know, drawing cartoons. I would sit, you know, in the back of the class drawing in my notebook. So I actually came up with the logo for that actual TV show one day when we were sitting in the room. Like, we were just sitting there, and it was like, what is going to be the logo? And then I was just sitting there drawing, and I drew like a mouth,
because mm-hmm.
The name of the show was called Real Talk.
Okay.
And I drew a mouth, and I drew like the big 3D letters in the mouth.
What year was this?
This was, I would say, it had to be like 2010, if I believe.
Oh,
if
so
not
2010,
probably 2009.
Oh, and you're only 24 now, so this was when you're like
18. Exactly.
That's dope. And because a lot of our listeners are in that age group, believe it or not. I was surprised to see that. So that's dope, you know, to hear from you in that perspective that so you're saying like that's where you kind of got your creative mind going, like just so being so involved in the illustration part of like mm-hmm. a cartoonist type of approach.
Always in the art from a very young age. Mm-hmm. And so pretty much after different opportunities like that, you know, my mom put me in different other community television places, like up in Montgomery County with Montgomery Media News and all of that. I took classes up there and got certified. Then over the summer,
your mom was active. I mean, I know that your mom is very active and supportive of your business, but your mom was active even, you know, I know you told us this when we first sat down at the Vox Studios last year. You were saying how important for parents, how important it is for them to encourage their children, no matter how different it may seem, because you never know what it may turn into.
Yeah, I mean, it's a blessing. A lot of times, you know, kids deal with, you know, their parents not necessarily believing in their dream 100%. They're just kind of like the traditional way, like, look, if you ain't going to get a job or you ain't going to college, what are you doing?
Right.
I mean, she can be like that, but she also took notice to the gifts and the talents that I had and said, mm-hmm. well, I understand that, but at the same time, let's at least try this out and see if it works. Mm-hmm. You know, if it doesn't work, you know, then heck, you're going to have to get a job. I mean, bills got to be paid. But mm-hmm. She actually seen that once I made the company in 2015, that it was becoming very successful. Mm-hmm. And pretty much to wrap the story up, you know, high school and all that, did TV production. And mm-hmm. I interned for this guy named Noya Maryland mm-hmm. Right after high school. Mm-hmm. And he pretty much just gave me opportunity. He was looking to make his kind of like his own, you know, his own thing with, you know, interviewing and just networking with people and just all around. And we would go to these events and I would be the cameraman. So now people are starting to see who I am because I'm with him and we're constantly going to these events, from fashion shows to live studio sessions, from anything really in the DC area we were a part of. So, you know, people are starting to see my face, but I'm quiet, so I'm not talking. So I was more so known for my talent, and it was kind of like a little secret, like, is that the guy to be doing the videos? Like, you didn't really know for real because I was so quiet and I was always into my work. So and then I worked for him for over a year, and then literally that next year in 2015 I created my own business, Excellent Productions.
Okay, awesome. So that was kind of your motivating factor, you know, just seeing how much, you know, opportunity was out there for you to turn around, not turn around, but, you know, to take that next step and get ready to launch your own. So how did you go about finding clients initially? Was it just like a word of mouth type of thing because you had been involved in the community so long?
Honestly, That pretty much sums it up pretty good. Like literally word of mouth. Mm-hmm. And my work was so good that it was speaking for itself. Like, it was literally speaking for itself. The only problem was, you know, people didn't know how to reach me or how to get in contact with me. So from me going to these different events with the guy Noya and stuff and making different connections here and there, I slowly but surely just started, you know, seeing people and they were like, hey, are you Excellent Productions? Oh, you did that video? And then they would know, and then it just spread it like wildfire, literally from word of mouth. So I might have
Know how it is in the community, you know, it can get so competitive, not just in the Black mm-hmm. business, in any business community. So if you're like that, you know, that secret weapon, you know, of course people aren't going to be like, hey, meet my cameraman, he's super dope, you know, when it comes to creating dope videos and stuff, because they kind of want that to be their competitive edge. You know, that happens you know, at the top of the game as well. So, you know, I think, you know, it's smart for you to create your own company and still be able to, you know, stay true and stay loyal to, you know, those projects and those objectives, and while making your own, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. So for people that want to check out your website, it's xlensproductions.com. That's xlensproductions.com.
Yes.
So bring us up to speed. 2019, you've gone to South Africa with the Shoulda Coulda Dream Tour with Dwayne Michael, and, you know, you guys went out to Oprah School while you were out there?
Well, actually, we didn't actually go to Oprah School. We were supposed to go to Oprah School. They were supposed to come to one of the shows because Dwayne Michael, he actually, his father used to be the illustrator for Ebony Magazine. Ebony Magazine out there. So
impressive.
Dwayne used to actually live in South Africa, Johannesburg.
Oh, nice.
So he went to his old high school and they were supposed to, you know, be there. And they didn't show. But hey, everything still went, you know, positive. You know, he had radio interviews while we were out there. South Africa, Johannesburg treated us very amazing, beyond amazing. And it was just a beautiful, and it that's something that I can never take away, that experience. Like, it's an experience that you'll probably never get in life. And for me to get that opportunity at 23 years old.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. 20-something years old, traveling around the world, filming projects, actually living your dream. So I think I asked you this before, but now, you know, looking back, that you passed that momentum, can you say, like, you manifested that? Like, can you say that something that you saw yourself doing before it actually happened?
Yeah, I could definitely say that, because from a child, that's what I would see those things, you know, like, while the kids might have been, I mean, I was playing at recess too, but I was more so of like a daydreamer more so. Like, I would sit in class. I mean, I'm supposed to be paying attention, getting my lesson, but I'm thinking about movies and my future and all these things, and all this stuff is happening within, like, probably, I would say, definitely by third grade, I was making up my own movie ideas based off of what I was seeing on TV. I was coming up with a sequel to Spy Kids 2 involving myself. And this even a story, my mom probably doesn't remember this, but I remember the last time we had the interview, you know, I was telling you about, you were asking me about the different people that inspired me, and I was like, I really got inspiration from the movie actors and the movies I was watching at that time. And at that age, they might not have been, you know, the best movies for me and my age, but it helped.
I remember that.
Right. So
I think one of them was like a Christopher movie or something like that, like Rush Hour or something.
I was saying Rush Hour Friday. But this particular movie was House Party. And when I seen House Party, I was just so intrigued by, you know, Kid and Play and the story and the movie and everything. So I literally, from my class, without them knowing, came up and wrote out like a whole, like, who I wanted to be, the actors in that movie based on their personalities in the class. So I made a cast list of who I wanted in the class. And remember, this is only third grade. And printed it out and was actually acting like I was going to go and shoot the movie. I mean, I didn't print a script out, but I literally printed out their names next to the actors' characters' names and was like, okay, I want you to play, you know, the role of Tisha Campbell. I want you to play Cindy. I want this person to play Martin and all this other stuff. And my mother seen this, and because she so happened to be, you know, when they have the parents come in to, you know, help in the school or whatever, participate. And she was like, what is this? We're not having no party in my house. But just things like that shows what kind of mindset or where my head was at the time.
Yeah, your type of level of creativity, even as a kid.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, and you know what? When I think about it, like, we did come from a generation, or like that whole generation of kids did play like that. You know, when you think about it, a lot of kids, you know, did like their own talent shows, even if the school wasn't hosting a talent show. It was like the kids that the mm-hmm. went together, their own little competitions, you know, with the girls cheerleading against each other and
who
dancing.
Who was going to tell us now?
Exactly. Exactly. Who was asking for permission? It was like, we're making our own all bucks, you know? Like,
right.
Yeah. I mean, I remember playing like that, making up my own little plays and writing my own little scripts out and storylines and stuff like that. So that's awesome. So it is crazy because I was going to ask you to talk about your process. So, you know, every time we talk, you know, it just intrigues me of your level of wisdom for to be early in your 20s, and not to take anything away from anyone, because you could be wise at any age. You know, you could be wise mm-hmm. at 8. But with that, you know, obviously there comes some type of balance. How do you find your balance between your social and your work life?
That is a very good question. Honestly, I deal with that every day, because I've gone literally through different process of that with working, and then, you know, being young and wanting to hang out with my friends and go out certain places. And I am very disciplined to myself. Like, I know in the end that even though I might want to go and hang out with my friends and do something, that I could sit down and create something that could change my entire life. Mm-hmm. My livelihood, and take me to a whole different kind of lifestyle that I was just talking about, that I was dreaming about, like, from a child. So... Mm-hmm. It's very difficult because I do want to go hang out with my friends and I do want to do things, but you just have to have that grind. You have to have that discipline within yourself. And even though I might not be disciplined 100% all the time, but I know when I need to sit down and get the work done. And I can't answer the phone. Just turn it off. Don't answer any text messages. And I mean, and they understand that. And like, literally, it went from when people used to hit my phone up all the time and they'd be like, what you doing? Editing. Then they call another day. What you doing? Editing. All right, so what you doing today? Editing. Like, it was to the point where it would probably ignore someone, but that's how dedicated that I was to, you know, working. I mean, this is my job. I mean, a lot of people don't understand that when being an entrepreneur, you know, that's self-work. You're working for yourself. So it's the same thing as if you went to your 9-to-5. Like, mm-hmm. you gonna sit on the phone all day and talk to your friends at your job? I mean, some people do that, but you get what I'm saying.
Exactly.
So
it's some just people like, get jobs where they can do that just for that reason, you know?
Yeah, so you definitely have to have that discipline, because if you don't have it, you're not, one, you're not gonna be probably successful in this game, and two, you're definitely not going to make the revenue that you want to make.
Right.
So it is very hard sometimes, but I mean, I just try my best to make it work. But when it comes to the whole editing process, I mean, it's just something about sitting down. It's something for me for sitting down, and whether it's footage that I shot or someone else shot, you know, putting on those two roles, those two hats, being a cinematographer or a cameraman, and also being an editor, I see the vision. And when I sit down, I'm literally taking footage that was nothing or was shot a certain way, and then creating and making a story out of it. Mm-hmm. And that's, I believe, my role as an editor, or my process.
And do you do festivals and stuff like that? Like, how do you keep your edge? So, what festivals have you been to?
I definitely did Broccoli Fest.
Oh, nice. How was that?
I've done.
What's Broccoli Fest for those who don't know?
this was Broccoli Fest actually in 2017, if I'm not mistaken. But it was a really good experience to actually, you know, have that opportunity, because that was kind of like a, it was kind of like, I don't know.
How do you shoot a festival? Because I would imagine for a camera, you know, that's a lot of walking with the camera, trying to catch a lot of angles with people close together, where, you know, obviously it's a festival, everything's going to look spread out, and, you know, a lot of...
Right.
How was that?
It wasn't really that challenging, because I feel like I'm kind of used to just, you know, first, you know, I look at, you know, where they're having it and everything, and kind of balance out where I need to be and what I need to get. And mainly I was just kind of mainly focused on the stage and the people like in front of the stage, because they actually had two stages. So they had a stage for like the big artists that were coming, and then they also had one for other artists that were coming on a whole different side of the place they were having it in DC. So I just mainly just, I don't know, I just focused on where the action is happening at, what's going on, and I make that decision that, you know, I'm gonna stay over here, or I might go over there later. It's just really, really all of what's going on.
Yeah,
but where I was at was where all the stars were.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how do you stay abreast of that? Like, obviously you would have to have some type of inside connection to be able to, you know, come in early and see the layout, see the overview, or even, you know, to be able to get the invite to come and film. So how do you stay abreast on, like, what events to attend and what events not to attend? Or how do you determine the quality event or, you know, event that may not be worth your time?
Well, when it comes to Broccoli Fest, I mean, I've heard of that mm-hmm. show for a couple of years. Because I said it was 2017. I heard about it 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. But I always wanted to go. And I was supposed to go and record them. But I actually never got that opportunity. Because I was out working. And I was on tour with Lonnie B. And doing other things like that. So I never got that chance to actually be a part of it. So when I got the opportunity to reach out, I was like, hell yeah, I'm doing this. So... And also, back to what you said about, I didn't even have a chance to go there early to, you know, scam out the location of how it's going to be and all that other stuff. I was just kind of thrown into it. And it's like, hey, this is who, you know, we're sending you with. Because it was a radio station that I was actually recording for that that gave me that opportunity. So I was actually with, I'm trying to think of her name. She's a radio, a big radio host. She works at WPGC, but I can't think of her name right now. But yeah, okay, I was working with her, and yeah.
Okay, well, so overall, that experience, you know, it just came by word of mouth. How you were saying you pick up a lot of your other opportunities just from knowing people mm-hmm. in the business and people knowing you. So, you know, another reason why it pays to do good business. So talk about, you know, different industry changes and how do you maintain being able to stand out with your special effects? Because you make a lot of, I feel like you can take like a regular video and just add something to it that's different that gives it its pop, whether it's the graphics, the music, just the way you do the split screens. I mean, how do you maintain your edge of being different? Or do you even look at it as, you know, that's your edge?
No, I do look at it as being my edge. I just mainly just try to stay original, mm-hmm. really. I do watch and see, you know, with the other videographers or other people that are in my field, what's going on, to have a sense of just like what's going on out in the industry, pretty much. But I mean, I mainly just stay to myself and focus on me, really. I don't focus on, you know, trying to make something like another one. Now, it was a situation where I made this one video. It was just a quick video that I made with a whole bunch of effects. And that was the kind of proof of point, because it was getting to a point with the new generation of hip hop, you know, with all these different, in their music videos, you know, everything is bright colors and all these effects and everything. So I was like, I mean, this is what I do, so I might as well just show an example, you know, that I can do this style too. But right. I'm more so, I like having effects as well, but at the same time, I want everything to still look polished. I don't want it to look, because I know I can go over the top with effects sometimes, so I try to keep it,
but then
not go too high, but yeah, to a minimum. Yeah, to where it's not taken away from whatever I'm trying to show.
Right, right.
Unless it's necessary. But in that situation with that video, that promo video I did for myself and Excellence, that was an example of that style, and was like, okay, he can do this too. You know, showing everyone I can do this too. But
The recent tour that you shot with Dwayne Michael with the Shook Could Dream tour has recently been picked up on Amazon Prime. So not saying like that's necessarily that your hype, but you know, after having so many accomplishments and doing so much at such a young age, do you still push yourself, or are you just trying to stay in your flow of where you are now? Like, what's next for you as far as goals and, you know, different milestones that you want to reach?
Well, right now, what I would say is next for me is I'm actually working on a dance documentary. So documentary projects, reality shows, just different content in that field. Maybe some short films, maybe some more movies, things like that. Because that's the space that I always wanted to be in. And I didn't even realize it until about 2017 when I got the opportunity to do The Real Makeup Artist at DC. Mm-hmm. I was like, it was after it came out, and I was just like, wow, like, this is always what I wanted to do. Now I'm, because from the success of that show, that put me in a whole different bracket of, okay, whoever this Brayden Jenkins guy is, whoever who's running Excellent Productions, they really on to something. Because no one's ever heard of a videographer doing a whole entire reality show, editing it, shooting everything from B-roll of the Capitol and everything by himself, and then putting it together. Then the next year doesn't really stop, because the season ends like in November. Then that next year does the second season and does it all over again, but does it on a whole entirely bigger level. And it looks different than the first season. But when it comes to Shook Could Dream, yes, that's a movie. It's a motivational, inspiring movie. It's the most inspiring movie out in 2018, available on Amazon Prime. And pretty much what it's about is, it follows the story of this guy named Dwayne Michael, who is, he's a motivator, innovator, and he travels and has this tour called Shook Could Dream. Now, Shook Could Dream is the three stages of life. It's certain places where you talk about what you should do in life. It's certain places where you talk, I could have done this, I could have done that. And then there's the dream for people that actually follow their dreams. So he travels all around the world and inspires different high schools, middle schools, colleges, anywhere to follow their dreams and really just motivating the kids to, just like me, like, to follow their dreams and to live their life to the fullest and be happy and do what you honestly love in life, because you would be so much happier. And so we traveled to three different locations, because it should and it's could and it's dream. So Should was filmed in Prince George's County at my old high school, Dr. Henry A. Wise, and also at Suitland and I think Friendly High School. Then the Could part was shot at his alma mater, Morgan State University. And then the dream was shot in Johannesburg, South Africa. And we were there for up to 10 days in Johannesburg. And then we went to Cape Town as well. But like I said, so I mean, go ahead.
I was going to say, so right after this experience, then you have Spike Lee winning the Oscar. So what does that mean for you?
When I seen Spike Lee win that Oscar, honestly, I felt like that was completely, he deserved that a long time ago. I didn't even feel like that Oscar was for Spike for that movie, Black Klansman. I didn't feel like it was for that. I felt like that was for all the hard work, all the things that he went through in his career and in his life, and his films have stand the test of time, and we will always live with them, and it will always be a big thing, you know.
Yeah,
part of the culture and everything. So I felt like that award, that Oscar, was for all of that, pretty much.
Right, for his.
That's how I felt in the moment, but I was excited for him because he really did deserve that award.
Yeah, I feel like it was one of the most iconic wins of that particular award show. And like you said, I feel like it was something long overdue, to the point it's like, to the point it should be, I feel like it's just a trophy to Spike, that, you know, confirmation of what we already know. You know, that's long past the stage where we idolize, you know, particular awards because we see that, you know, there's different demerits that go, or, you know, different ranking systems, how they go about giving away these pieces of metal. So do you see yourself getting involved in film to that level, to that extent, going mainstream? What are your feelings on, like, mainstream versus being independent? And mainstream, I'm talking about, do you see yourself going to work at a big production company like a Lionsgate, or, you know, partnering up, not necessarily going to work for, but partnering up with a big production company like a Lionsgate or Tyler Perry Studios? Or do you just want to take your own particular movement and just kind of stay in that lane, stay in that direction? Or do you see yourself, like, going full-fledged Hollywood?
I think if that opportunity knocked on my door, I would definitely want to take it. As far as working for another studio, I don't know about necessarily partnering with them, but I would
collaborate. I know it doesn't, but yeah, you know how, like, you see, yeah, Billy Roadmap, Columbia Pictures, right, like different film companies all on one particular
coming together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly, that type of thing. That's what I mean.
But yeah, I'm always open to the opportunity, and I feel that being independent is a very good thing, mm-hmm, because that's you pushing your own brand, and you're your own boss, pretty much.
Right.
And I feel also that I would want X-Lens to be as big as Universal or Tyler Perry Studios or New Line or whoever. So I would see building the company up to those statues, to where it's to the point where I wouldn't necessarily have to partner with them. They would want to have to partner with me. So, but not, you know, putting them down or anything.
Yeah.
I want that for myself.
Yeah, within reason. I understand exactly what you're saying. There's nothing wrong with that. So how do you feel about, you know, the difference in what you want to create and the difference what the culture craves? Or do you see a difference?
There is a difference. I feel like what I might want to do for the culture could easily get pushed away or not looked at as much, and could be fully 100% of showing you what the culture is. But I feel like the problem is we have too many other people that aren't a part of the culture that are trying to make money off of the culture. So mm-hmm. It's like the people that really know what's going on, like, they push to the side, and or once they learn what the plan is, like, oh, this is how you do it. So they might grab one guy, but he wasn't really for the culture anyway. I mean, he was just gonna sell out and just give them information so they could make money off of the culture. So I would say that's the difference. But I mean, there's still people that are in high positions that are doing things for the culture, like Ryan Coogler with Black Panther getting the opportunity. I mean, it's plenty of filmmakers out here. I'm not gonna say that they're all, you know, just stealing from the culture or whatever, but it is a thing that does happen, and And it happens a lot. And it's been happening since forever. I don't know when. So I feel like that's when us as a people or Black people need to come together and just set the rules and set the foundation and just be like, look, this is what we're going to do and this is what we're not going to do. You can't come in, like hip hop, for instance. You can't just come in and then start doing, but see, nobody set the rules at the time. So then when a Vanilla Ice come, everybody looking like, man, what the heck? But it's like, y'all ain't set the rules. So, I mean, not saying that it can't be white rappers in hip hop. I'm not saying that. I'm full, you know, with everyone, and everyone is their own individual. But I'm just saying, if you want things to be a certain way, you can't get mad when certain, yeah. Like the whole Macklemore winning a Grammy that year, and Kendrick didn't, and everybody felt like Kendrick should have won.
He was one of the first entrepreneurs in hip hop. He was one of the first people to venture out and was like, look, you could take this rap thing and do other things with it. And I think that's why people, you know, kind of called him a sellout at first, because you would see Vanilla Ice in these commercials and stuff. But, you know, he already knew, you know, that this music, that this hip hop thing is a platform, you know, just, and this is why so many hip hop artists, you know, try to, what they call, cross over so much.
Right, exactly. He was a, other things, but that was the whole thing. I think that people was getting mad at. It was like, you're a pop artist, but you're trying to be a rapper and make money off of our culture. So it just didn't look right. Then you look at years later, then the Eminem comes out, and then it's like, people was hating on Eminem in the beginning too. They was like, Dr. Dre, what you doing? Like, you know, like, this guy has blue eyes. Like, what are you doing?
So, but how do you feel about the cultural changes in hip hop that's happening right now with hip hop just being, because I never looked at hip hop as a for anybody type of thing. I always looked at it as a form of expression, and it's open to a certain people. I feel like the hip hop spirit, the indie spirit, the entrepreneurial spirit, the creative spirit, I feel all of that is in the same thing. It's just hip hop is how we express it culturally, you know. So I feel like hip, like you have hip hop, you have bigger hip hop heads in Tokyo than you might have in DC, you know. Right. And they really feel like that's their culture. So I've always been open to the diversity in hip hop, you know, especially being, you know, multicultural myself. And you know, people just look at you and they think you one way, and you know, like many of us, we have a multitude of, you know, things going on inside of us. Like, you might be Indian, white, Irish, or whatever, but, you know, people just see a brown guy, you know, and think, you know, they know something about you. So, what I was going to say is, how do you feel about the cultural changes in hip-hop? Do you feel like, you know, the mumble rap and the mumble rap generation is affecting other forms of creativity in hip-hop?
I do, because all change isn't bad. Things have to change. Things can't stay the same. That's the first thing I want to say. No, I'm not mad at the mumble rappers, because it is not their fault. They are a generation of children that are lost in some kind of way because of what the past generation didn't do for them.
Right, so
you can't get mad at them. If they,
so they just all mumbling. Right.
If you haven't laid down a foundation and be like, yo, look, this is how, you know, I understand you doing this, but maybe if you did it like this or do it like this, no one was taking them and schooling them. So you can't get mad at the kids of this generation who are honestly experimenting with the culture and experimenting with the game and the music and venturing off and doing different things. And they're doing things that haven't been done. Might not understand them all the time, but
hello. It is. I thought the call dropped off for a minute. So what's the difference in producing and directing for you? Because you've talked about, you know, being attached to so many different films, so many different projects, you know, the real makeup artists of DC. Shopaholic City event. You're saying you're filming a docuseries now for a dance squad. We know that you film the Lady Dame docuseries. You film for Lonnie B, who's done several tours and, you know, has a huge following on social media. PG County TV, Dwayne Michael, where you traveled around the world with him and went to South Africa, on top of, you know, maintaining your own production for, you know, your branding and promoting. So with all of that, how do you define the difference between producing and directing?
I'm glad you asked that question, because this is a question that I've had to ask myself over the years, and it really does change with the more knowledge that I get on it. So for years, you know, I felt like, I think because I had seen so many different people, like a Spike Lee who's acting, directing, and writing, and all these different hats that he's wearing, you know, you could get confused as a child and kind of like put them all together and be like, well, all right, well, that's the same thing. When directing and producing are two separate, completely different things. So when it comes to directing, that's really within its name. I mean, the director, you know, has the vision and is directing whoever he's directing, you know, in front of him, whether it be actors or directing his vision to one of the producers or assistants, whoever's working. And that's his job, really, to make sure his vision is being captured across. So directing is really within its name, directing. Now, when it comes to producing, producing is, I feel, a little bit different. Producing is more so the person who I feel is in charge of the entire project, and also whose job it is to make sure everything is in order and getting the necessary things. So that person, the producer, might not necessarily
like the props and stuff like that.
They might not be holding the props and everything, but that person is in charge of making sure they have people to do that and do these jobs. So
to have a director for
exactly.
Okay, makes sense. All right, and tell people how they can reach you if they're if they want to see, you know, check out your professional page online on Facebook or Instagram, Twitter.
Yes, you can follow the website at www.xlensproductions. That's XLENS Productions. And that is where you can see all of my, .com. That's where you can see all my material, from the web series to the reality shows, from the documentaries, from the commercials, from the weddings, everything. You can get there, all the information. If you want to reach out to me, there's also that on there, different clients, because I'm always looking to work with new clients and different creative people that, you know, have that ambition and are trying to do things out here and creating. And I want to assist with that and take it to the next level. You can also follow me on Instagram at Xlens Productions. Same thing, XLENS Productions on Instagram. And that is everything.
Yeah, so are you accepting new clients right now?
Yes, I am accepting new clients. Even though I'm in the process of doing this dance documentary that's following the story of Raw Element, which is a dance group in the DMV area. They've been doing their thing, ran by Poca Barham and Parham, and she's been that's another person, entrepreneur, been doing her thing. She's been running this dance company for 10 years and creating, you know, opportunity for different kids in our community of PG County through, you know, Prince George's and everything. So
yeah, we definitely got to link up with Poca then, because I definitely would love to hear that story.
And that will be out soon. That's going to be on YouTube.
Great way to express self-expression. You said that's going to be on YouTube.
Yes, that is going to be on YouTube. It's going to be coming out probably in a couple of weeks.
Okay. We'll be looking for that, looking to share that on the Instagram page and on our Tumblr as well. So what's your message to entrepreneurs ultimately before we go?
I would say my message to entrepreneurs or future entrepreneurs coming up, there are times where you're going to feel like, I can't do this. This is too hard, or I'm not going to be able to do this, based on whether it's your living situation or maybe it's just, you know, people around you. But I would say that first thing that you need to do is have the mindset, have the dream, the goal. And if you don't have a goal, then I don't know, just kind of find out what you're good at and start from there. Then once you find that out, then work towards that goal. Put yourself in different situations that's going to help you get to the opportunity. It starts with your circle. If you don't have those kind of motivational, you know, people around you that's inspiring you, telling you, you know, like, yo, I seen what you're doing. Like, you need to keep doing that, or, you know, just stay focused and put into your craft 100%. And I promise that you, at least by 5 years, you will see some kind of impact.
That's what's up. All right. Well, this is our time. Until next time, thank you for tuning in to this edition of the Digital Digest. This is your girl, Ace. Joining us today was Braden Jenkins, the CEO and founder of X-Lens Productions, where you can find him online at xlensproductions.com. That's xlensproductions.com. Yes. So thank you so much for joining us again, Braden. It was a pleasure speaking with you. I definitely want to reach out and speak with the organizer of Raw Elements if you can help, you know,
absolutely,
with that handoff. That'd be dope. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in. And if you're looking to feature your brand on the Digital Digest, email digital.ace2018@gmail.com. That's all our time. Till next time, peace.